Good morning. Would you take your Bible? Join me in the book of 1 John as we read from chapter 4. 1 John chapter number 4. Verse 7. Let's read together. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. May God bless our reading His word. You may be seated. Let me just say at the outset that loving one another, because we are children of God, is inevitable. However, it is not automatic. Therefore, we are commanded to love one another. It sounds as if John has radically changed direction when he begins discussing our loving one another, because in the previous few verses, he was discussing our examining and judging the teaching of teachers so that we can identify whether what they are teaching is true or false. And while this may sound like a radically different direction, it is not. We often assume that love has no place for critical thinking. That's absolutely false. Loving God and loving others does not prohibit, does not limit our being critical thinkers, identifying things that are true and things that are false. He says in verse 1, Do not believe every spirit. Now, is it unloving to say that something is false? Absolutely not. It's truthful to say if something is false. And love is truth. He didn't say, let's just put aside all of our doctrinal issues and make love the preeminent, if not the only, factor in our relationship with other people. He didn't say that. In fact, this text makes it very clear that examining someone's doctrine is not unloving. It is, in fact, loving. Now, what am I talking about when I talk about genuine love? I want you to look at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. You see, what he's saying is that the nature of God, the very nature of God, produces our love for one another. How do you think you love one another? You may think, well, because I'm a wonderful person. I love other people. No. You have nothing to do with it. love comes from the nature of God. John goes so far as to say, God is love. Now, he doesn't say that's all that God is. God is also truth, and God is also holy. We use love in a number of different ways. Some people say, I love pizza. Some people say, I love hardwood flooring. And those same people will say, I love my children. Are each of these the same kinds of love? No, absolutely not. Because we often associate love with feelings. How we feel about something determines whether or not we love that thing. I honestly have had people say, as they are in conflict in their marriage relationship, I love this person. I'm just not in love with this person. As if these are two different kinds of love. And maybe they are. Maybe they are describing two different kinds of love when they say, I love this person. I'm not in love with this person. But more than likely, what they are saying is, my idea of being in love has to do with my feelings. How I feel about this person. Does this person give me the eebie-jeebie goosebumps? If they don't, I may love them. I'm not in love with them. The issue of love is one of definition. How do we define biblical love? Now, I may not be right, but I've kind of worked on a definition of biblical love, and I think it's will stand the test of biblical scrutiny. And this is how I would describe or define biblical love. It is a self-sacrificing, caring commitment that shows itself in seeking the flourishing of the one loved. The flourishing. Now, what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is seeking what God is seeking for that individual. What does God seek for every individual? Here it is, that they know Him, and that they grow in the likeness of His Son. So when we love someone in a biblical kind of way, we are seeking for that person what God is seeking for that person, in a caring, self-sacrificing kind of way. Authentic love, genuine love, what I'm calling biblical love, is the very nature of God. Love is from God, it says in verse 7, and then in verse 8 it says God is love. Now, can unbelievers demonstrate genuine love? Yes, they can. Yes, they can. They can genuinely love their spouse. But can they biblically love that person? The answer is no. Because they can't seek the flourishing of that person in the same way God seeks the flourishing of that person. God wants every person to know Him and every person to grow in the likeness of His Son. How do people love if they don't know God? Well, they love because God's grace abounds. God's grace is all around us, folks. As the old saying goes, the same sun that shines on the saint shines on the sinner. There is a common grace, and everyone is able to experience and express love because of God's grace, His common grace. But only those who know God and are themselves pursuing Christ-likeness can express biblical love. That is where they seek what God seeks for that individual. You see, if authentic love or biblical love comes from the very nature of God, then the children of God, that is His offspring in whom He dwells, those who share His DNA, then they will demonstrate biblical love just as He does. The second thing that John says is that the action of God, not just the nature of God, but the action of God has a bearing, an importance on this issue of biblical love. If the nature of God produces our love for one another, then the action of God demonstrates or shows us or exemplifies for us how we are to love one another. Look in verse 9. He says, "In this the love of God was made manifest." In other words, here's where the love of God is demonstrated. Here it is. And this is what he says, that God sent His only Son into the world. So that we might live through Him. There's something about God sending His Son that demonstrates to us how our love is to be demonstrated to others. How did God love us? And how does God love us? God loves us sacrificially. God gave of Himself. That demonstrated the very nature of God's love. It's not a self-serving or a self-centered kind of love. It is a self-sacrificing kind of love. If the nature of God produces our love for one another, then the action of God demonstrates how we are to love one another. And he goes on to say in verse 10, that this love, this action, was initiated on the part of God. Notice, in this is love, not that we have loved God. God wasn't doing just fine up there, or God wasn't miserable wherever He is, and then one day we decided we'd love Him, or we found ourselves in love with God, and all of a sudden God said, "Oh, they love me, I'll love them." God's not in junior high school. And neither are we. We didn't love God, folks. Paul was very clear about it when he says, God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This began with God. His nature. Our nature was like that of our father, the devil. And but, ladies and gentlemen, I know this is hard to believe, but every one of us was born in sin. We were born in sin. And we were born offspring of Satan. His DNA was in us. And that DNA was death. We were dead because of sin. How did we come to life? Did we generate life out of our death? No. The love of God initiated his bringing us to life. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "And you has he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." Love initiates, not with us, but with God. Now, why is John saying that? He's saying that so that we'll understand the kind of love that God has demonstrated to us and how we are to love one another. We are to not wait on finding out whether or not that person likes us. Do they like us? If they don't like us, we can't like them. If they don't love us, we should withhold our love from them. I don't know. Am I getting through out there? Some of us are so middle school. We're so middle school. We find out somebody said something bad about us, the shut-off valve of our love happens. Righty-tighty. Or somebody we never thought about, it becomes known to us that they're fond of us, or they think well of us, or they have spoken well of us. Oh, I love them. What kind of love is that? That's self-serving love, ladies and gentlemen. It seeks its own good. What it thinks is its own good. That's not how God loved us. God loved us before we were capable of loving Him. And His love sought our life. And that's how we are to love one another. He says in verse 10, "In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." That's a big word. That's a big word. Hilasterion is the Greek word. What it means is complex. And that's why English translations struggle with translating this word. Because we don't see how it can be connected with love, and yet it is. The word propitiation means it satisfies. The sacrifice, the death of Jesus Christ satisfies God's justice. The idea that God's love is such that it just overlooks or forgets or just cancels all of our sin. As if He were a grandfather. I know how grandfathers do. Our grandkids will do something our kids did when they were little. When our kids did it, the hammer fell. When our grandkids do it, we just pat them on the head and say, "Thank God you're not my problem." But God saw us as His problem. And instead of just discounting our sin, instead of just overlooking it, He couldn't do that. That would have violated His own nature. He's holy. He's just. And our sinfulness required the judgment of God, and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ satisfied the justice of God. He became our propitiation. Well, that's how we manifest love. If it's authentic biblical love, that's how we manifest love for one another. You drive down the road, going through towns and see the names of churches, and you can often tell Oh, there was a conflict there. That's how that church started. That church started out of a conflict. You ever seen a church called Victory Baptist Church? Hello? Or Friendly Baptist Church? Well, you might as well go ahead and say, Better Than They Are Baptist Church. Or Thank God We're Not Like Them Baptist Church. The inability of supposed or alleged children of God to love one another the way God loves us should alarm anyone. Anyone. Well, oh, there it is. The sermon's right there on the screen. I don't think we get the fact that if God is in us, it is going to affect us. Or maybe I should say He is going to affect us. How in the world can we love people the way God loves people? The answer is the presence of God. The presence of God explains. It explains our loving one another. But let me go on and say it further. The absence of the presence of God may explain our inability to love one another. Look what John says in verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also, what's the word? What's the next word? Ought. Ought. That word ought. Now there is a way you can spell it that it means like nothing. It's also pronounced naught. But this word is ought. And the word ought here, the word behind this, implies the capacity. We have the capacity to love one another. If God so loved us, we have the capacity to love one another. Do you have the capacity? Let me just close in and close up here. Some of you, like my wife, may live with a person, may have a spouse, who is hard-headed, strong-willed, arrogant. How in the world can you love someone like that? Thank God. Thank God. God dwells in her. That's how she can love me. Are you having trouble loving your mate? How can you love someone who is like that person? The answer is the same way God loves. He doesn't love because of. He loves in spite of. What about those people at church that, you know, you just tolerate? You stay away from. You don't talk to, you see them in a room, you stay on the other side of the room. because you just, frankly, can't stand them. Why? Why? Is it something they've done to you? Or is it just the way they are? Don't forget, God loved us when we had done something to Him. And we had done what we did to Him, that is, we sinned against Him because of who we are. Because that's our very nature as sinners. God loved us anyway. When you find yourself in a condition of being unable to love someone, it either means God is not in you, or God is highlighting a place for you to grow, to be like Him. What is it? Find out. Because loving one another is important. Let's pray.